When our story began, I thought I knew love. Love was a mind that moved quickly from one thought to the next, eyes an inimitable blue that lay somewhere between morning glories and glaciers, and a hand that tugged me along as we raced laughing through the woods. Love was the way she buried her hands in my hair, and I lost mine in the dark waves of hers, and how she kissed me until we fell in a hot tangle atop the blankets in the back of the cave I called home. Love was the warmth kindled by her touch, lingering in me long after the first snow fell and she had gone for the winter. Love was what would bring her back to me in spring, and spring had finally begun to wake. I braided my hair and wound it into a coiled knot, then pulled on my heavy fur-lined boots studded with nails for traction. My satchel hung on a hook beside the door, already packed with supplies to collect ingredients for my tinctures. A gentle wind nudged at the mouth of my cave, no longer carrying the weighty smell of ice and snow, but that of the earth beneath it. My heart quickened with the promise it held, not just of spring, but of her. Invasia, my Ina. The long nights of winter had left me forlorn, but soon Ina and other mortals from the village at the base of my mountain would visit with goods to exchange for the potions I brewed to heal them or help their sorrows slip away. The frozen waterfall that had left the bridge slick with ice would dissolve into a muddy rush of snowmelt. Winds strong enough to blow even the most seasoned climbers off the narrow path would ease, gusting from the west instead of the north, pushing away the clouds banked up against the peaks. Even if the villagers were wary of me and my gifts, I looked forward to having others to talk to, instead of singing to myself as I cooked or crafted, or whispering questions only to have them snatched away by the wind, unanswered. Visits from the villagers eased the constant ache left by the death of Muriel, the mortal herbalist who had been my mentor. "May your death be free of life's sorrows," I murmured. Grumpy and exacting as Muriel had been, 3 years after she'd died, I still missed her. Her absence made me long even more fiercely for things I'd never had, like feasts of summer's bounty shared with family and friends, or the intimacy of stories told to children in whispers beside the hearth before bed. Now that she was gone, I often had to remind myself that I belonged on the mountain, alone. Any time I'd spoken of wanting a family or living in the village, Muriel had reiterated why I couldn't. Muriel claimed that when my father, the wind god, had abandoned me to her as a baby, she claimed the earth god spoke to her and gave very clear instructions that I was never to leave. We could go to the village only under the most necessary circumstances, like helping with births or tending wounded livestock. If mortals found out about the magic that could be performed with my blood, they'd hunt me like an animal. Amalska needed a herbalist. I needed training in potion making to understand the magic in my blood, and the gods had chosen this place for me. Truth had been one of the pillars of Muriel's vows to the Earth God, so I knew she'd been honest. As I grew up, I discovered why it was best I'd mostly been kept apart from others. When mortal children scraped their knees, red flowers didn't bloom where they bled into the earth. They didn't have magic sight that revealed the glow of life in everything alive on the mountain. When the wind whispered through the trees, they didn't hear music that could be made into melodies sung for the gods. Their blood couldn't be enchanted to bestow powers on people. And those were just incidental side effects of my true gift, the one I'd been told never to use or reveal. Secrecy made it a burden, yet another thing that isolated me. I fastened my wool cloak beneath my throat and tossed the satchel across my shoulder, picking up the lightweight staff I'd need for stability as I traversed the mountain. Outside, sunlight filtered through snowy pine branches overhead to dapple the ground in shifting patterns. The snow drip-dropping from the trees had the quality of thousands of muted bells, a song of welcome for the sun. A breeze nipped at my cheeks. The gusts were a gift from my father, his promise of warmer weather soon to come. "Thank you," I whispered to the wind, smiling as it caressed my face. Though we had never spoken directly, sometimes the wind god's touch and the reminders of his presence were all that kept me from being paralyzed by my own loneliness. I sketched his symbol in the air and walked out into the bright morning, following a trail around the side of the mountain. Along my path, clusters of crocus buds pushed out of patches of fresh brown earth that had finally surfaced from beneath the snow.